Welcome to this message from the pulpit of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. This message is by Pastor Ben Simpson. To find out more about our church and its ministries, visit us on the web at westmainbaptist.com. Now may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
We're going to look at the third out of four reasons that Jesus is the reason for the season of life. The first one that we've looked at is that Jesus is the only promised one. The second reason that we looked at was that Jesus is the only source for true and lasting joy. And today we'll look at number three. In 2003, there was a Christian sociologist, y'all probably have heard the name George Barna, who did some research. His research group did some research and statistically looked at America and to find out what Americans think about life after death. And that's a very popular topic. I'm sure everybody wants to know what happens on the other side. Well, 81% of Americans, he found, believe in an afterlife of some sort. Just some sort. 76% said that heaven exists. 71% said there's such thing as hell. 64% believed that they will go to heaven. All right? So 64% said that they believed they would go to heaven. And of that 64%, nearly half believed, only half believed that they would go to heaven because they've confessed their sins and have trusted Christ as their Savior. You see, 15% said they would get to heaven because they had tried to obey the Ten Commandments. Another 15% said that they believed they would go to heaven because they were basically a good person. And another 6% said God would send anyone to hell. I mean, everybody's going to go to heaven. Surely God would not let people perish. And here's the most amazing stat of all. Just one half of 1% expect to go to hell upon their death. That means 99.5% of Americans believe that they will not go to hell. I mean, Americans can't fathom going to hell. All of this tells me that the vast majority of America, something like 70% of Americans, believe they will escape hell by some other means than faith in Jesus Christ. But what does the maker of heaven and hell and humanity, Jesus himself, what does Jesus say? What does the judge of the earth say? That's our text. Turn there with me. John 14, 1 through 6. How is it that a person goes to heaven? Because everyone wants to go there. At least no one wants to go the other place. So John 14, 1 through 6 is our text here. Look at it with me. Jesus says, "Do not let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places," or many mansions in the King James, as you well know. "If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I'm going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to them, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." You see, there are only two options upon death, upon the authority of Scripture, either heaven or hell. Nirvana doesn't exist. Reincarnation doesn't exist. Annihilation will not happen. Just ceasing to exist won't happen. Heaven and hell are the only two options, and everybody wants to go to heaven, but not everybody wants to go the way Jesus says to go. So many people want to go to heaven, but they want to go a different route. But Jesus is explicit here in telling us how to get to heaven. And so Jesus' words bring us to our big idea this morning. Here it is. Jesus is the reason for the season of life because He is the only way to heaven. Let's look at the narrative here, and I want you to see why Jesus is the only way to heaven. So our text this morning is actually a response to some bad news. Jesus gives them some bad news. And so in order to understand the text, we've got to get the background. So the first thing we need to see in the narrative is this, is that Jesus foretells his departure from the disciples. Jesus foretells his departure from the disciples. Now, in the final verses of John 13, Jesus tells them that they some news that they really don't want to hear. He tells them something that breaks their heart. He foretells not only his betrayal, but he foretells his death. He says in John 13, verse 36, or 33, John 13, 33, he says, "Little children, I am with you just a little while longer. You will seek me, and as I said to the Jews, now I also say to you, where I am going, you cannot come." And then you just skip ahead to verse 36 there, John 13, 36. Jesus says, or Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, where are you going?" And Jesus answered, "Where I go, you cannot follow me now, but you will follow later." And the disciples, they were brokenhearted. Man, they loved Jesus. They loved Jesus, but even more heartbreaking was the fact that his death, his departure, totally broke with what they expected the Messiah to be. So not only were they going to lose someone they loved dearly, but they were losing their hope that this was the Messiah. And I'm sure that Jesus could sense the confusion and the sadness and maybe even some anger in the hearts and minds of the disciples, because Jesus is saying that he's going to go somewhere they can't go, at least not yet. And so it was really hard news to hear. But the second thing I want you to notice from the narrative is that Jesus comforts his disciples. Okay? He foretells his death. He foretells his departure. But then he begins to comfort his disciples. And so he begins to comfort them in verse 1 through 4 of John 14. So he begins, "Do not let your heart be troubled." And the question that immediately comes to mind is, why, Jesus? Why should we not be troubled? You just told us you're going to leave. I mean, we have put our hope and our trust in you. Everything that we have believed in seems to be slipping away. Y'all ever been there before? Everything that you had hoped in, everything you had believed in, everything you had loved seems to be just slipping out of your hands. But notice what Jesus says in response to that. Believe in God. Believe in God and believe also in me. In other words, as long as God is, church, as long as God is, there is hope. Amen? As long as God is on his throne, as long as he is in charge, as long as he is working out his plan, we do not have to worry, because as long as God is, there is hope. And so Jesus is saying, trust me, trust God. And there's no greater comfort than in God. There's no greater comfort. No matter the circumstances, there is hope as long as God is. And so believe in God and believe in him. Jesus continues on, continuing to comfort them. He says, "In my Father's house," in other words, heaven, "in heaven are many dwelling places." Some translations say many rooms. Again, like I said a moment ago, the King James says many mansions, whatever. It's a simple Greek word. It just simply, menos is the Greek word there, and it simply means a dwelling place or an abode. And of course, when we picture heaven, we picture mansions, okay? So he says, "In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." In other words, friends, disciples, I'm going to go, but you can't come with me right now. But in a little while, just in a little while, you're going to go where I am, and you will be where I will be. You know what a comfort it is to know that there's plenty of room in heaven. Amen? There's plenty of room in heaven. All who call on the name of the Lord, Jesus is preparing a place for you. There's plenty of room in heaven. And what a comfort it is to know that if you are a follower of Jesus Christ, Jesus already has a place for you and will personally greet you when you arrive into heaven. And then Jesus says this, and you know the way. Verse 4, and you know the way I am going. Everything was going pretty well up till then. Because, listen, I mean, the disciples, look, oftentimes we think of them as maybe greater than they were, okay? I mean, they were a little bit dull at times, right? Spiritually, I mean, like we are. I mean, sometimes we just don't get it. I mean, hindsight is 20/20. But they were in it in the moment, and they were a little bit dull. They didn't understand what Jesus was saying here. They didn't know where he was going. They didn't know what he was really doing. And I want to praise God because their spiritual dullness right here is actually our gain. Our gain. Because Thomas asked the question that needs to be answered. Look at verse 5. Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Thomas, speaking for the disciples and for all of humanity here, is basically saying, Jesus, we want to go where you're going, but we're not exactly sure how to get there. And so Jesus tells us, finally in the narrative, we see that Jesus explains the way to where he is going. Jesus explains the way to where he is going. Jesus doesn't say, go down the road and take a left and then a right. It's not a physical place that he's pointing us to as far as on the earth. He says in verse 6, he says, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. You know, there are lots of ways to get from my house, 33751 Nashville Highway, to West Main Baptist Church. I mean, I can take 53 to High Street to West Main. I can take 70 to Academy. I can take 70 all the way down to West Main and come back. All sorts of different ways. But notice the exclusivity of the way to heaven, the singleness of the way to heaven. Jesus says, I am the way. No one comes to the Father. No one enters into heaven but through me. You know, as one author points out, technically, there are two ways to heaven. He says this. He said, there are two ways the Bible says you can get to heaven. Plan A is to earn it. To earn it. That's the performance plan. And to earn it, you only have to do this, he says. Never sin and always do what's right for the entire time that you live. Just be perfect. That's plan A. He goes on to say, since none of us qualify for plan A, God came up with plan B, which is this. You trust Jesus Christ when he says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus was the only perfect person, he says, who ever lived because he was God. He came so we would know what God is like, and by trusting and establishing a relationship with him, you get into his goodness. You get into heaven. And so, friend, while there might be two ways to heaven, technically there's really only one. Because you and I have blown it. You and I have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. There is absolutely no way at all whatsoever for you and I to earn our way to heaven. Therefore, what must we do? We must cast all of our hopes on Jesus, who is the way, the truth, the life. Speaking of Jesus, Peter tells us in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, Peter says this of Jesus, and there is salvation in no one else, for there's no other name under heaven that's been given among men by which we must be saved. Again, speaking of Jesus, Paul tells us in Romans chapter 10, 11 through 13. Romans 10, 11 through 13, he says this, for the scripture says, whoever believes in him, that's Jesus, whoever believes in Jesus will not be disappointed. For there's no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, abounding in riches for all who will call on Him. And then verse 13, for whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Friends, listen to me. Jesus is the way. He's the truth. He is the life. He is the only way to heaven. And for that reason, He's the reason for the season of life. What do you need to do in response to this truth? First, you need to lay down any self-righteousness that you have. You in and of yourself, me in and of myself, we are not good enough to enter into heaven. We need to completely trust in what Jesus Christ has done and in nothing that we have done. The Bible says our righteousness is as filthy rags, but Jesus Christ's righteousness, perfect, unstained, unblemished. And God says, if we will stop looking at what we can do completely and turn from that and look at what Jesus Christ has done, then heaven is ours. Because we're not perfect, but we're trusting in the one who was and is. The second thing you and I need to do in response to this truth is to lay down any self-condemnation that you have. Listen to me, some people never come to Jesus Christ because they think their sin is too great. They think their sin cannot be forgiven. And I want to say to you this morning, friend, that is a lie straight from the devil. Straight from the devil. There is no sin so great that Jesus' blood cannot cover it. So come to Christ with all your filthiness, all your depravity, all of your sin, and by grace through faith in Jesus be covered and cleansed. Finally, lay down or lay aside your love for sin. To come to Christ is to turn from sin. Friend, the wages of sin is death. We talked about last week, right? You remember that one of the things that one of the fool's golds that we looked at was the fool's gold of sin. Sin seems to be joyous. And it's going to really do what we want it to do. But in the end, it's deception. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So I beg you this morning, turn away from it. Replace your love for sin with a love for Jesus Christ and receive the free gift of God, which is life everlasting with Jesus in heaven. And so this Christmas, as you celebrate Jesus, man, there are so many things to be thankful for, but one of the things you can certainly be thankful for and celebrate Jesus is that He has prepared the way for you to go to heaven if you'll only believe on Jesus. Jesus is the only way to heaven. May you see that beyond a shadow of a doubt, and may you follow Him all the way up to the gates and in. Here's my prayer for us. May you believe on Jesus, so that you will be gloriously received into the Father's house.
Thank you for joining us for this message from Ben Simpson, pastor of West Main Baptist Church in Alexandria, Tennessee. If you would like more information about our church or about how you can obtain other messages, please call us at 615-529-2813. 615-529-2813. We are also on the internet at westmainbaptist.com. As we leave you, may you trust in Christ alone to the glory of God.